for the weekend kickoff with Phil Devine, Armando Vasquez, Ballpark Frank, and Big T Terrence. Start your weekend off with all the news on the gridiron, in the cage, and the ring, and anywhere else that sports is happening. The weekend kickoff is brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition, number one for all your nutrition and supplement needs, with multiple locations around the valley to serve you better. Now, here are the guys to kick off your weekend on ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM.
And welcome in. Good Saturday morning. Weekend kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. The first weekend of March. The madness is upon us. Lots to get to today. Of course, we got MMA fights last night. MMA fights coming up today. USA 7's rugby is in town here. And of course, the Vegas Golden Knights are now officially the 31st team in the NHL.
What,
now,
why was that news today, or this week? I mean,
well, it was news because they weren't officially in the league until Foley paid his final payment. Ah. And then once the trade deadline ended and once the final payment was made, now they can officially start making moves and try to acquire players, go after free agents.
They're allowed to play at the big boy table now.
Now, okay. I like it.
They are allowed to play at the big boy table.
I hate to say this out loud in the airwaves right now, but last night, took my mom out gambling, had a good time, you know. I sat at the bar, and you'll never guess what I was watching.
The Blackhawks.
No, they were over already. It was Anaheim Ducks.
Okay.
So I was watching hockey last night.
Blackhawks have won 11 of the last 12 games, you know.
Yeah.
Tell
me about that. Blackhawks are on fire right now.
Blackhawks are completely on fire. Crawford had the flu, but Darling came in and filled in admirably.
Choke in the playoffs.
Of course, Patrick Kane now is second in scoring in the league behind Connor McDavid. He's right there. Choking in the playoffs. They've won three championships in this decade, more than anybody else.
This is a decade of the Blackhawks. Here's the thing, Frank. It may have happened once back in like 1970, so it's going to stick with Armando for the rest of his life.
That's how
the Blackhawks will be perceived by Armando. They at one time, one night, back in 1964, had a bad game.
Wasn't born then.
I'm just saying, that's the type of person you are.
No, I'm just saying, this year they're gonna choke in the playoffs.
Well, first off,
hold on. Why? What at all gives you any idea that
I watched two periods of hockey this year? How do I know? I'm just trying to get under his skin. Exactly.
And it's not going to work because, first off, to choke, it means you have to be just head and shoulders above and better than everybody else. And there is so much parity in hockey that that's not the case. The teams that choke are your buddy Tim Unglesby's Washington Capitals every year, who win the President's Trophy and don't get it done. And ironically, the San Jose Sharks, who won the President's Trophy a couple times, had the best record in hockey. They would get knocked out of the playoffs all the time, including the last time that the Kings won the Cup, and San Jose had a 3-0 lead and then lost, and then the Kings went on and they won two more Game 7s and then actually had their easiest time against the Rangers. But those are the teams that choke. The Hawks...
I mean, Ovechkin isn't a stud? Come on. I mean, he can't get them over the top.
Ovechkin is a regular season stud, and he scores a lot of goals, but he doesn't necessarily make players around him better.
I'm going to make fun of him
now. No, they do it every year. Last year, they won the President's Trophy, which, if you don't know, is the award that goes to the team with the best regular season record.
Okay.
They have like three or four of those. They have zero Stanley Cups.
Just wait 2 years.
Being that it's called the Presidential Trophy, I assumed it came to the runner-up. Because isn't that how you win the presidency these years?
it kind of does work out that way for a lot of the teams that win it. So
Hockey Electoral College voted that the second place teams will be the winner.
So I guess being in Washington, it is appropriate that it is a President's Trophy. So but yeah, they have some of those banners hanging, but no Stanley Cups. That's why Ovechkin he. That's one of the monikers on him. That's one of the knocks on him. He can't win the big one. He can't win a gold medal in the Olympics because Russia's not that good. They're not as solid. Can't win a Stanley Cup. Can't win a world championship because Canada wins everything. So Ovechkin has a lot of great regular season records. Wow. Doesn't get it done in the playoffs.
I'll tell you what, the hockey guy is going to be upset that he's not in here with us.
Yeah, and I think we've spent way too much time on this. There's a lot going on this weekend.
No, you're right.
No, no. Frank, I'm happy for you that the Blackhawks are doing well. And Armando, I'm happy that you, when it doesn't matter what sport it is, you still just don't know what you're talking about. Just,
what
just
I do, throw, thank you very much.
Stuff to get under people's
Armando's
skin.
Happy because maybe Kaepernick can go from his old team and go back to his new team now because he's going to be a free agent and he's going to stand for
bite
the national anthem now.
We do not want that.
See, now, I got to say, actually, it's pretty interesting. All of the talk that went on with Kaepernick and now, you know, opting for to out of his contract, which there's a lot of football moves going on.
Oh,
a lot. Brandon Marshall, turns out he's not going to be.
The Jets are letting everybody go.
Jets are, it's just like, you know what? How do we make ourselves worse? I know. Let's just clear the team. Anybody that had any remote possibility of helping us, let's get rid of them. I don't need that, right? We don't need that. I got an idea. Let's go play in the Canadian Football League. Maybe then we'll be good.
Yeah. By the way, Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles let go the same day.
Yeah.
So
yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of moves. And the Underwear Olympics is going on as well, a.k.a. the NFL Combines.
Yep. Those are always fun.
Oh, wow.
Those are always fun. I always need to know what someone scored in their Wonderlic test.
Yeah. and I always need to know what somebody can run without their pads on when they've been training for track and field. And then all of a sudden, if somebody goes, wow, he's really moved up on the draft board. Why? Did you watch the video of him playing? Have you watched game film?
Yeah, it's unbelievable how they use that to measure. It really is because
you guys are making fun of this. That thing gets great ratings on it.
Of course, it gets ratings because there's puppets will watch anything.
Yeah,
because
people are stupid.
I don't watch it, but I'm
people
like,
are stupid.
What?
The Pro Bowl gets great ratings. That's why it's played every year. It's
really
garbage football.
Really, I've never seen a Pro Bowl.
No offense to like Mel Kiper, and I love watching Mel's analysis, but that's a guy who has a job just making guesses. It's,
yes.
You know, this guy is good. I guess he's going to go second round. They're guesses. at what point do you watch the NFL draft on ESPN Radio or ESPN, and you're like, wow, he got it right? Never.
You know what's even worse is the actual draft day.
Yeah.
When they go and they go, oh, he picked the guy that I said they should. So what a great pick for them. And then if they go off the board and they go, oh, that's a terrible pick. They don't know what they're doing. I'm going to give them a D. I might give them an F on that one because, yeah, really. And 5 years down the road is when we're going to know how the drafts actually worked out. Oh, and by the way, all the picks that you completely screwed up. Boy, you forgot about them, and you never bring those up again, do you? But you'll have that one guy that you said, I told you he should have been a first rounder, and he was picked the 66th man in the draft. Yeah, and the other 12 guys that you had ahead of him are garbage. Yeah, they're not in the league anymore. Shut up!
The NFL draft analysis may be the only thing. You may be the only thing. Like, you look at baseball, and baseball, to be a successful baseball player when it comes to batting, you just have to, like, produce one-third of the time.
Well, for
sure. Think about that. You know, 333 is one-third of the time.
Three out of ten, you're a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you're exactly. So, I mean, with draft picking, it's just like, you know, I got one pick right back in 1996. First round, I said it was going to be. You ride off that. He's like you, Armando.
Nostradamus has a better percentage with that stuff that he predicted 1,000 years ago.
Control your jealousy.
Anyway, we have some MMA going on. We would be remiss, too, if we didn't mention it is the weekend. That means that Vegas Discount Nutrition has those lightning sales going
on. They certainly do. Stop by any one of the five Vegas Discount Nutrition locations in the city and get some great deals and some protein today. Lightning sales going on in all of their locations. Also, in a little bit, we're expected to be joined by Robin Black from Fight Network, UFC.com. He does a lot of stuff. One of the best analysts in the game.
Yes.
Was nominated for award at the MMA Awards the other night. You were there, Frank.
I was at the red carpet.
The red carpet. It's always a big event for MMA fans. I, of course, did not attend. I haven't attended an MMA Awards show in a couple of years. They're fun, you know. It's always fun to see the fighters get really drunk, though, beforehand and show. I saw quite a few fighters get dragged out of those places a couple of times.
It's fight week.
Or some of the fighters, even if it's not an award show. From what I understand, Bisman was a little bit tipsy when he was talking to GSP the other day.
Right? And actually, that is something I do want to get into, because we do have a lot to get to. It is a big weekend. And Armando, listen, not only is there fights tonight, but we got some real fights tomorrow. Well, WWE action going on this weekend. And Frank, look at this. Frank can't cut to a commercial.
No,
right
he
now.
Can't. It's
Goldberg coming back again, you know, going for a title. No, I'm just kidding, Frank. This week, It was announced.
Fastlane, baby. You know,
we found out last week that
Say What You Will. Didn't Fastlane do that song way back in the 80s or something like that?
No, Frank. It's it's the pay-per-view wrestling, sir.
WWE pay-per-view Fastlane tomorrow. Band
first. No.
I think there was a crappy band before the crappy WWE took it over.
Do you want to do? We can talk. You want to talk WWE? Is that you want to do, Frank? Well, is that where you want to go?
You guys let me touch on hockey, so go ahead. Knock your socks off. No. With all the important stuff we have to talk about, let's not talk about non-sports on a Saturday morning.
Let's get into adult soap operas right now for everybody.
Yes.
We found out this past week George St. Pierre's comeback opponent would be not what we were originally. It had been talked about. I had mentioned myself, I would have loved to have seen GSP going against Jorge Masvidal right now. Guys on a streak. But no, they're going right now GSP straight up for the middleweight title against Michael Bisping. No date has been set, but I hear it will be here in Vegas during International Fight Week. That's what everyone awesome. Is assuming.
Hopefully.
That's going to be a big week again. You know, I know based on timing, I think the Ultimate Fighter will be ending around that time. So chances are I don't know if we get a second show or if part of the same, maybe Garbrandt and Dillashaw part of that show. I don't know. But Bisping and GSP, and like you mentioned just a minute ago, Frank, Bisping showed up to that press conference and seemed like he had just finished tipping some back. Horse thrown, okay. Late, all okay. Out of it.
Let's be honest.
And cursing like Conor McGregor.
I was going to say, let's be honest, did he not do what that knucklehead does?
Yeah.
He came late, and then he goes off and starts shooting off at the mouth like he shouldn't.
How about the reason for why he came late? He was getting his car from the valet, but he was at the Encore, and it was at the Wynn or vice versa or something. It was actually at the valet in the hotel that he wasn't trying to pick it up at or whatever.
Yeah, there was...
No.
Listen.
He's trying to be...
There was absolute chaos for the UFC yesterday.
Let's finish with Bisbee first.
So I think when he had said something, I think Dana had kind of yelled at him. You know, thanks for showing up late. And he's just like, well, I was at like you said, I was at one place. I don't think the UFC had anything in order yesterday. I mean, it hit the fan yesterday.
Yes, it
really did. But what are your thoughts on the Bisping GSP fight? Because when it broke, there were people that were outraged, losing it. Yoel Romero.
They promised
Jean
him
Garrett.
A title shot, right?
We talked about that before. A promise in the UFC means jack.
Yeah.
It means
it's like
jack.
A political promise.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. I'm one of those people that was outraged. I understand it's a business, and I'm not surprised that it's happening. But Jacare, Romero, there's so many guys that deserve this shot. Even Luke Rockhold, who never got a rematch or whatever. They like Bisping. He's been a company guy. He's friends of them. He does their TV broadcast behind the microphone, and now he wins the championship. They give him Henderson, who he shouldn't have had. He's over the hill. Okay, we'll give you this one. You can avenge that loss. Now they're giving him another fight that they think he can probably win. And meanwhile, these other guys have to wait another 6 months to a year or whatever before they get a shot.
Yes.
It's not fair. It's not right. But I do understand it's a business. You pay $4.2 billion for something, you make the fight you want to make, they want this. You can call it a super fight, but I don't understand how a guy who doesn't even fight at 185 and hasn't fought in many years, he comes back, he doesn't get a warm-up fight or nothing, and he's fighting a weight class above what he fought at, and he wasn't a finisher there.
I agree. And here's the thing, though, is I looked at it, and when the announcement came that George was coming back, my first question was, yeah, but what weight? Because there had always been talk about him moving up to middleweight. Because he's not a tall welterweight.
Well, look how Bisping towered over him.
Well, people forget, Bisping was also a light heavyweight. Bisping started out as a light heavyweight. Yep. He went, 16, 17, and 0 in the 205 division before he dropped down to middleweight. So Bisping's a big middleweight.
Yes.
George St. Pierre's a big welterweight moving up to middleweight. So the size advantage is there for Bisping, no doubt about it. But George is a stocky guy. You know, George has got that muscle. I think he always had, not a problem, but it was a chore to get down to 170. And that weight cut, I think, years later, what, it's been 3 years since he stepped in the cage.
Almost four, I think. Yeah.
So I think the decision to move to 185 is correct. But, yeah, getting a title shot right away, no disrespect to Bisping, because George St. Pierre is one of those athletes that, yeah, you put him in there against anybody, he's got a chance to win the fight.
Yes.
But, I just don't know. Bisping is not an easy test. And George coming back after the layoff he's had. Bisping's got great takedown defense. He's got a great lead jab. He controls the distance very well. George, this is an interesting fight.
Let me be honest for a second. I've never thought very highly of Michael Bisping as a fighter.
Nobody does, apparently.
No.
I think he's very underrated.
No, and you're correct there. When he won the Ultimate Fighter, everybody thought he lost. He got a hometown decision, and then every time, for the longest time, he would always get into these streaks and then lose the big fight before he had a chance to fight for the title. It's something that theoretically speaking, George St. Pierre should walk right through Michael Bisping. But then again, they said that when he fought Luke Rockhold, and look what he did to Luke Rockhold. Maybe he turned the corner now.
Frank and I picked Michael Bisping to beat Luke Rockhold.
And the funny thing about that fight, too, is it's like people still don't give Bisping any credit for winning that fight.
I know.
The whole thing is Rockhold didn't train for it. He took him lightly.
His father was sick. Yeah, passed away a week later.
The sun was in his eyes. Yeah.
He got knocked out by Anderson Silva and still won the fight. Come on.
No, it's definitely an interesting fight, and I do feel bad for Romero, for Jacare, for anybody else in that middleweight division. But, one of my favorite movies of all time, Army of Darkness with Bruce Campbell, one of the best lines in there, and it's just, it looks like you're in charge of two things right now, Jack and Jack just left town. And that's what it is with the UFC. It really is. When it comes to promises, they ain't worth Jack at all.
None.
We talked about GSP coming back on. Very cryptic tweet came out this week.
Ooh.
And I found it really interesting. We had, we've multiple times talked about this on the show, that we just feel that Ronda Rousey is no longer going to be with us when it comes to fighting, that she's going to move on. That the last two losses were devastating enough to, it's time for her. The sport has moved on. Well, Ronda the other day put out a tweet. It was kind of one of those memes, and it was a sailboat, and it was... a ship is always safe in harbor, but that's not what it was meant to do. So I'm wondering, is this Rhonda's kind of trying, to let us know that she's not done and she will be coming back and fighting?
I hope not. There's no reason for her. She's done what she's done. It's done. It's time to... She just got a gig doing a TV show. I forget the name of it.
She's on Blind Spot on NBC. It'll be, I believe it's for next season. She just filmed, was doing it.
So she's moving on. She knocks it out of the ballpark. She can continue doing that. If we take a look at the division there, who do you think that she can beat there now that she's got a glass jaw?
we've talked about the division's wide open.
Is she
going to
drop the fight page?
The division's wide open, and she can't.
No, exactly.
There's no way.
No, exactly.
But what she can do is move up.
Yeah, she could go to 145. We could argue that right now.
And then get destroyed?
I'm just saying it's something she could do.
I would hope that if it's really for her best interest, yeah, maybe a ship isn't meant to be in the harbor, but we can also sail to new continents and new things, and maybe that's the acting world. Hey, it is the movie business and that bought the UFC, so maybe she's going to move over there. So, but, yeah, she could go back in the cage. I don't think it'll work out too well for her if she does.
Yeah.
Because they don't, as they just showed with the GSP fight, who has been off for years and he's getting a title shot, they don't give you cupcakes and give you tune-up fights. When you come back in, they want to get their investment right away. So who's she going to take on? Somebody else that's going to embarrass her again and have her talking about, I want to kill myself or I want to do this, that, or the other?
Which, is the absolute worst way to have handled things. You know? And I think that was why it was such a big hit, because of the way she took that first loss. But what I would like to see is if she has decided to come back or realizes that I do want to be a fighter, this is a lot sooner. So we don't have to wait this year. Well, what's Ronda going to do? Like, maybe she comes back.
She might.
Maybe she does.
You mentioned the way she took the first loss, and then the second loss was actually a worse loss as far as the beatdown in that, because Nunes just went right after her. I don't know what she does. What she did for women's MMA cannot be argued. She's the one that put it on the map and made it relevant and made it in the UFC. But the game has passed her by.
Mm. Yeah, I tend to agree. I do agree with that. And
At the top level.
At least at the top level, you know,
she could go to Bellator and take over there. They're not going to allow her to do that.
If you actually look, last night, Bellator did have an event, and Bellator 174. Hey, last night, we saw the crowning of a new featherweight, the first Bellator featherweight champion, when Julia Budd, who has faced Ronda Rousey at 145, now has... she's the new Bellator featherweight champion when she stopped Marlos Kunin last night. And we had talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that this fight coming up, that was the number two and number three ranked featherweights in the world for women.
And then after the fight, Marlies retired.
Yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, she's been at it for a former Strikeforce champion. She's been at the sport for years. You know, one of those, you know, like Misha, we're seeing that. We're seeing the girls that started this. Ronda got MMA, women's MMA to where it is now, but there was a long line of competitors before her. Misha, Sarah Kaufman, you talk about Marlos Kunin. Mm-hmm. There were so many before her that never got to see like the light at the end of the tunnel as far as that big payday. Marlos never made it into the UFC.
And you
Sarah
can even
has, but we. I mean, how often do you see Sarah Kaufman fight these days?
No.
You could say somebody like Gina Carano even passed the paved the way long before that and made Ronda possible.
Yeah, the very first women's main event in an MMA fight, she headlined a card with men there, and that was the first women's five-round fight. Because at the time before that, they fought for three-minute rounds.
And then she also went into the acting business and did some TV shows and other things as well. So Gina really paved the way for everybody out there.
She certainly did. She certainly did. Well, it looks like we are up against the clock. We're going to...
way against it.
Yeah, we are definitely up against it. We have so much to talk to. We talked about yesterday being a crazy day for the UFC, and we'll get into that next. And we're going to hopefully be joined by Robin Black when we come back.
All right, it is Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you each and every week by Vegas Discount Nutrition. Go there and check out the lightning sales. Get that protein this week. Welcome back, Weekend Kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM, brought to you each and every week by Vegas Discount Nutrition, with five locations around the valley. And, of course, it's Saturday. That means those lightning sales are going on. And they got a good one this weekend, Phil. Got that protein. Everybody needs the protein to help your workout. So get on over there, five locations, and take advantage of those sales. Hell, great prices all the time. And on Saturday, even better ones.
Even better on Saturday. And you know what Saturday means? Saturday means we've got fights tonight. UFC 209 goes down at the T-Mobile Arena tonight.
The official home of the UFC in Las Vegas.
The official home of the UFC. And the Black Knights, right?
Yeah, the Vegas Golden Knights.
The Golden Knights and the UFC. And on the line right now, we are joined by analyst extraordinaire, Mr. Robin Black. Robin, how you doing today?
Hey, guys. Good. It's fight day.
It's fight day, right? It's always an exciting day.
Yeah, man. And great fights. We lost a big one. But still, a great night of fights.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the fight we did lose, a lot of people... obviously very excited about Tyrone Woodley, Stephen Thompson too, but the real main event in a lot of fans' eyes was Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov, which is now, as everyone knows, not happening due to Khabib having to go to the hospital, could not continue to make weight. What was your initial reaction when you found out that the fight was canceled? Because I know you were high on this one.
Oh, man, yeah, this really was a beautiful fight. And will it happen in the future? It may, but it may not be in the immediate future. Tony might end up getting something else. I mean, it's definitely a disappointment just because it's just such a wonderful fight. So they're so different, and they're both on the sort of front end of change in fighting. But, you know, weight cutting is not the problem. We don't blame the mechanism. People are like, oh, this weight cutting has to be stopped. No, it's the individual, it's the athlete, that you choose the weight class that you sign a contract to compete in 8 or 10 weeks from today. And if you or I were going to a, you know, a high school reunion, we were going to see that hot girl that we went out with in high school and we really want to impress her, we'd lose 20 or 30 pounds in that time, and we know how to do it with diet and exercise. It can be achieved. But these guys want to, you know, dehydrate that weight in the last 3 days, so that after they weigh in and they rehydrate, they go in with a size advantage. And it's their fault. They're to blame.
Is this one of those fights that everybody wants to see, but it's looking like who knows if we're ever going to, because this isn't the first time that this fight has been scheduled and not happened.
Yeah, that's it. The fight itself, the dynamic of how these two athletes match up, is genius. It's something brilliant. But sometimes these things just don't happen. And if they don't happen soon, then twists and turns in these guys, you know, a spider web of a career takes them in other places, and maybe you don't see it when they're at their very best. And right now they're at their very, very best. So it's a shame. But you're right. Thompson and Woodley is a brilliant fight. It's a rematch. And a rematch is always fascinating, especially with guys of this level, because somebody, one or both of them, are going to make some pretty big adaptations, and we're going to see something very different.
When you say that we're going to see something different, these guys know each other so well after being so intimately involved for 25 minutes. What, and this being the next fight, what kind of adjustments can one make to make it that different fight?
Well, it was a draw. Statistically speaking, it really was a draw. But we all kind of, with the old who would you rather be question, Woodley got the better of him in a lot of ways. So often, he'll make less changes. Things went well. The two things that he loves to do, which is drill you in the face with his overhand right or his shovel right hand, and then take you to the ground and smash you in with his elbows, he accomplished both of those things a fair amount. He just wants to do what he did. Whereas Thompson has the ability to beat this guy the same way that he has the ability to beat Rory McDonald and Johnny Hendricks and people, Ellenberger, you know, and he could do it, but he has to change the approach. He has to move a ton more laterally. He moved towards Woodley a fair bit in the first fight, and I think he wants to be moving away and drawing him in and intercepting him.
Do you think he goes back to his kickboxing, goes to the kicking instead? Because you saw him actually kind of draw back from that after he got taken down in the first fight.
Yeah, that's a real good question. He was definitely kicking a lot at the open workout. And he was kicking backing up, which is something a lot of people don't do a ton, you know, retreating, backing up, and firing kicks. And when I asked him about it, he was like, yeah, you know, even if you've maintained a deep distance so that you're firing a kick to fill space, he said he'll take those kicks gladly off the arm, the hand, the elbow, and just start to damage those weapons as well. He's a very clever guy. He and his father's his coach, and they are working on a very high level. But, you know, Duke Rufus, who's Anthony Pettis and many other guys' coaches, is an elite mind as well, and he's working with Woodley, and he is confident as hell. We were talking to him yesterday. He's confident that it's just round six, and we saw Anthony Pettis a while back fight Ben Henderson in a five-round very close fight, and then in round six, he beat him up and submitted him in the first round because Duke felt they had learned enough to know how to do it, and he thinks it's going to be similar, but I'm not so sure.
Me neither. Robin, now, I want to go to the heavyweights now. Now, Mark Hunt has been very outspoken this week. Is that going to be a deterrent to him? Is he gonna be able to fight, put his head into it, and really get in there and, you know, knock Overeem's block off? Or is Overeem just going to take over him? Because I don't know if his head can really be into it with this, you know, this lawsuit going on and him talking the way he is talking about his employer.
Yeah, you know, that is a very apt, intelligent question for sure. And the answer varies by fighter and where they are in their career. And if this was somebody, you know, on the undercard and they were having a lawsuit and they were all angry and emotional, I'd say they're in trouble. Bet the house against them. But
exactly.
When you've got a guy, 60, 70 fights, kickboxing, boxing, mixed martial arts, traveled around the world, been in the biggest fights in the craziest environment, you know, opponent change on the day of, something, you're fighting with an injury, you know, a promoter in Eastern Europe trying to screw you, like thousands and thousands of weird little things that he's dealt with, it becomes sort of part of their skin and part of their blood, their ability to just hint their fight with a little bit of anger or emotion or whatever. It just colors it, flavors it ever so slightly, and they're able to use it. So it's very possible Mark Hunt goes in there and a still focused, still, you know, technically smart Mark Hunt just adds a tint of anger to it and knocks off Overeem's block. But it's a great fight. I mean, would anybody be really shocked if this... I would be fairly shocked if we saw 15 minutes of this. Overeem doesn't do well as it goes on. So somebody's going to take somebody out within about 7 or 8 minutes.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because Overeem has been quoted before as saying that when it comes to the heavyweights, it's really a 50-50 proposition who gets the first good blow in there. He's almost like saying, if you're going to bet on Hunt because he's the favorite and take the underdog in a heavyweight fight. Yet at the same time, I find it interesting that the UFC, after Hunt was so upset about the Brock Lesnar fight, and I understand it, now they give him another opponent who has been popped before for PEDs. Could that be in his head going, I don't even know if this guy's clean, although you probably think he is, but it almost seems like it's another mind game that they're almost playing with Hunt by giving him Overeem.
And even if it isn't one, if he thinks it's one, then he treats it as if. You know what I mean? Like, even if they're like, who's available? Oh, let's get him Overeem. Now, there, it depends how deep in the layer of conspiracy theories we want to go, because on some level, by accepting a fight with a guy who has failed a drug test in his life, he's undermining his own lawsuit. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, you're suing, saying that it's unreasonable that you're in there with these guys, and then you accept a fight that he is publicly in, and we all know has failed it. I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I talk about fighting on television. However, it seems to me that that might undermine his ability to win a lawsuit where he's complaining about guys using drugs when he's fighting a guy who's used drugs in the past.
And yeah, maybe the UFC threw him in there for that, going, well, you accepted this fight, and so what are you talking about? You don't have a leg to stand in here, pal.
Clearly you don't have a problem with it.
That's what I'm saying. It is a little weird, right? But Hunt, you know, he's one of these somewhat underappreciated guys. Like, even people who know the sport get tricked, and they'll say, oh, you know, just Hunt, he just throws big bombs. The difference between you guys throwing a big bomb or me throwing a big bomb or Mark Hunt throwing a, quote, big bomb is the subtleties, the sensitivity, the little tiny sort of adaptations his body has made over the years of perfecting those bombs. And he's deceptive with his movement. The proportions of his body are different than a lot of heavyweights, so it's hard to read the distance he's at. Like, he is a dangerous, dangerous fighter. And I would not want to fight Mark Hunt under any circumstances, but I feel like fighting an angry Mark Hunt would just be a step worse.
Yeah, and it's funny, they're booking this fight as part two, you know, Overeem Hunt 2, the second battle. And I mean, that first fight took place so long ago in Dream, and it was a much different Mark Hunt. Alistair, obviously, a lot of submissions in his game. People think he's a knockout artist. And yeah, he's got a few knockouts, but he's got a lot more submissions, I think, you know?
Yeah, he's got a ton, but a lot of them came because he pummeled you, and then when you went down, he choked you.
True.
You know? So, yes, he is a very good martial artist. And, you know, I've got a number of different friends, coaches, and fighters that have been in training in rooms with him. And they say, you know, it just as a full, complex martial artist, he can do it all. But Mark Hunt is very hard. Like, you don't have to become the best wrestler or the best submission guy or anything. You have to be the best at not having it get there. And that isn't just the idea of takedown defense. Sometimes that's just mobility. It's where you are in space connected to your opponent. And Mark Hunt is really good over the last few years at moving his hips out of the space of being able to be grappled. And if you get a little too horny to get the takedown, he will rip it to you. So, as a heavyweight fight goes, it is a very, very exciting fight and great way to start the main card. I got this cool gig tonight for the UFC. Me, John Dodson, and former lightweight Eves Edwards are doing something called Sidekick, where we're in a studio watching the fights during the show, and people can watch it on the UFC's Facebook Live.
You stole my question. I was about to ask you about that right now because I came across it on social media, and so that's...
So it's like a sit down Q&A watch or not, or just watching the fights with you guys commentating?
Yeah, like, it basically, not so, I don't think the idea is to sort of commentate it so much as just have a party and watch fights with fighters and people who know the game. And we're going to hang out, chat during it. We'll hear it, and the audience, they call it a second screen experience. NFL does it. Major League Baseball does it. Rogan, of course, has been, my buddy, has been doing a fight companion during fights for many years. But he's commentating tonight, so that doesn't exist. And so the UFC decided to do this second screen experience. You're watching the pay-per-view on your TV. You open your laptop or your iPad or your phone, and you get us into your living room to hang out with you and watch the fights.
It's like Mystery Science Theater. I like it. I dig
like
it.
Like Inception.
Yeah, no, I dig it. That's very cool. Before you mentioned something very interesting when we were going to, this goes back to a little bit to Khabib, but more about the weight cutting and the drug issues. Just yesterday morning, my wife, she works for the Las Vegas Review Journal, and she told me yesterday morning before she got up for the, left for the weigh-ins, she says, "I don't think Khabib's going to make weight." I'm like, "What?" She says, "He looks horrible all week. He's looked bloated. He looks run down. I don't see him making weight." And this is actually something that quite a few people had mentioned during the week, that this is the time where Khabib's going to fall out. Something bad's going to happen. He's not going to make weight. Is it so much a problem with guys not making weight, guys failing drug tests, where the result or the punishment doesn't or it doesn't fit the crime, so to say? Like, if a guy doesn't make weight, he just loses 20% of his purse if the fight still goes on. Hey, you know what? Maybe some guy halfway through his weight cut says, I'm not going to make weight. I'd rather be fully functional for the fight than drawn out, and I'll take the loss and the money.
Yes, and I've seen it done. It's definitely I've been in rooms where fighters are like, "Screw it, I'm just not going to make the weight. You know, I'm going to go in there. I'll fight better. Give them 20% of my purse." I've seen it. It's not done much at the high levels, but you do face penalties. So the main one, of course, in this case, is you lost everything. You lost every penny. You lost the fight. You lost a chance. It affects your future. You could be fighting Conor McGregor for millions of dollars in Russia 4 or 6 months from now, had you made weight here and everything went. So there are life consequences. But there's also kind of a public hit and a respect thing. Like, people in the fight game do not respect people who don't make weight. They all make weight. All the former fighters have made weight. It's your job. And your job isn't how did it go on Thursday and Friday to make the weight. Your job started 8 weeks ago or 10 weeks ago when you signed a contract to be on a weight on a day. The weight cutting is stupid. It's something people do in 36 hours to dehydrate themselves to lose weight. But weight loss is achievable. Through diet and exercise and nutrition, you lose the weight so that the week of, you cut 4 or 5 pounds, you skip breakfast, and you sit in the sauna for 20 minutes and you make weight. But that doesn't give you the size advantage later. So it is in quest to have a big size advantage. And Khabib looked big on Thursday at the open workout. Wednesday or Thursday, whichever day it was this week, he looked big. He was a big guy. And Tony was lean and sinewy, and you could see he'd been doing the work. So, and then on the UFC Embedded series, there's Khabib eating tiramisu, you know? And that tiramisu, that and two other or three other decisions 3 weeks out could have been the difference between him fighting in Russia in a stadium against Conor McGregor 6 months from now and now being sitting here with no gig. And the momentum of his career entirely turned around. Dude, desserts. Can't have them.
Yeah, and I believe Ferguson even made reference to the fact saying good luck with that weight cut there. If the doctors wouldn't have stepped in and essentially stopped this fight, would Khabib have gone on and done the fight? And what kind of danger could he have put himself in if he did?
Well, I think he would have. It's hard to say because once you get to a state of physiological depletion that's really bad and then there is still 3 or 4 pounds to go, sometimes he just won't make it. And then he wouldn't have been able to fight for the title. So it would have been if Tony won, he would have the title, and Khabib with a win would not. But every single time you dehydrate your body, you're dehydrating water out of your muscles, your organs, and your brain. So you are fully checked by multiple doctors the day of the fight, you know, so they would try to be doing everything they have for the anecdotal evidence to make sure you're fine. But it's a dangerous practice, for sure. But it is not weight cutting. Well, sometimes they're like, "This weight cutting is terrible." It's the athlete and the way they choose to manage their weight. We can all manage our weight. It is when they're in our control for all of us. These are not arbitrarily a certain size guys who are being forced to go and do a certain thing. They've chosen this weight class, and they don't do the work to stay close enough to it in between fights.
Do you think maybe the penalty should be a little stiffer and not just more of a cut with the purse or even with failing a drug test? Do you think it should – hey, you lose your job because you didn't meet your contract.
You know, that's interesting. There's arguments for and against any kind of heavy penalty like that. The argument for it is always like, you would not see many people doing it anymore. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You'd fire one or two guys, and then all of a sudden, everybody would be making weight. So I see that for sure. But it's also massive, like, because there will be some kind of error or problem or an imperfect scenario in which you really weren't 100% responsible. That will occasionally happen, and then you lost your job. So it's pretty harsh.
You mentioned you choose the weight class, and this week we got the news, George St. Pierre coming back, stepping up a weight class to take on Michael Bisping for the middleweight title. What are your thoughts on this fight?
Yeah, when people are, there's a lot of debate, he doesn't deserve it, Yoel Romero deserves it. People use deserve a lot, and I think that we all have differing opinions of what that means. The reality today, and I like to exist in reality and figure out how to make it work, is that the biggest fights get made. You know, like, if I'm going, and I'm the purist, I like... The best fight. I like the person who I like number one versus number two. That's what I want. But I'm also not going to become outraged for the rest of my life every time that doesn't happen when I know for a fact that never happens. You know, you just deal with it. And the reality is, fights get made for money. Like most things in most businesses in our capitalist world, they get made for money. Apple Computers does things because they'll sell better. And fighting does the same thing, so we have to accept that. And from that standpoint, this is a cool fight. And from the fight itself, I mean, again, you go with deserve. George's body of work, he deserves whatever he wants in a fight.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
So I get that. But I think he's going to be a different fighter, and I think I'm excited to see that most of all. It was hilarious at the press conference. George, the world's most polite Canadian, and that's saying something, with a starched white collar and a suit, sitting up there looking all good, and then Bisping comes in after a raging party the night before wearing a black leather jacket calling him a pussy, and that kind of laid out exactly what you can expect for the next 5 months of these guys traveling around and doing press conferences.
Well, you know, one thing also about George is he's always a sharp-dressed man. Another guy who is on the card tonight who's always sharply dressed, and he's been around a while. What can we expect out of Rashad Evans on this card tonight?
Oh, yeah, that's tough. That is a big question, and I think that is going to be a lot. That is up to Rashad, you know. He hasn't always been able to show up and perform to his skill level, which is elite of the elite. If the Rashad Evans, who is performing at his best, fights Dan Kelly, he'll knock him out in the first round or piece him up and then take him down and beat him up for a couple of rounds. But if the Rashad Evans, who, you know, has been very hesitant and a bit of an overthinker, having a hard time pulling the trigger, shows up, you get a 39-year-old, you know, heavy judo player who's rugged, could start roughing him up. So it's really, if Rashad's at his best, he's going to be, quote, back. And if he's not, this could be the last time we see him. So that's a lot of fun for a guy, too. But, man, at 185, he looks fantastic.
Yeah, he looked absolutely shredded yesterday.
I mean, you could say that. But this is a guy who couldn't get a license to fight for two cards. I mean, where's his head at? I mean, I don't know if he's ready to go. I mean, because if he isn't, Daniel Kelly's going to knock his block off.
Yeah, I know. You're right, man. That's why it's a heavy one. There's a lot of stuff going through his mind, and he hasn't been performing at his best. So he's got to deal with all of that. And on some level, you know, when they give you a guy who's, you know, is he in the top 10? Is he barely? He's, you know, won four of his last five, and he's tough. He's really tough.
Great judo guy. Yes.
Yeah, a great judo game. You know, if you don't win that fight, people are going to be saying it's time to hang him up. That you carry that in there with you. You want to not carry it in there with you, and if you're free and your mind is free, you won't. But if the consequences and the outcome of the fight are in there, you're not in the moment. So it's a tough fight for Rashad. It'd be nice for his sake to see him come out there, start moving and dancing and getting behind his jab a little bit and outbox this guy, move his feet, make him chase him for, you know, and suddenly you're like, oh, okay, of course, he's the far more skilled fighter here and he's having a great fight. So we'll see. It's definitely a lot on the line for Rashad in this one.
Certainly is. And Robin, we are up against the clock. I thank you so much for joining us and breaking down the fight the way you did. Also, let everyone know again one more time what you're doing tonight with the UFC Facebook page and how they can catch you.
Yes, 6:55, 5 minutes before the main card. If you go to the UFC's Facebook page, we'll have a Facebook live stream. Me, John Dodson, and Eve Edwards, and we'll be partying, watching fights with you.
Appreciate the time, Robin. Enjoy the fights. Have a great time here in Vegas.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the hostilities, my friends.
Thank you, Robin.
All right, it is the weekend kickoff, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. We are indeed up against the clock. We'll come back and wrap it up on a Saturday. It's another fight weekend here. Of course, the show brought to you by Vegas Discount Neutral. All right, wrapping it up here on a Saturday, ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM. It is the weekend kickoff brought to you by Vegas Discount Nutrition. 5 locations around the valley to take care of all your nutrition and supplement needs. And guys, it's just got a few minutes left here. And the card tonight, everybody still excited about it? I mean, I know I am extremely bummed that the one fight is off the card, but it's still a nice card.
You got some interesting fights for sure. The Woodley Thompson 2 is worth it for the price, I think. Obviously, losing Khabib and Ferguson is devastating. That was my main event. It was. I like Tyrone Woodley. I like Stephen Thompson. I think their first fight was highly entertaining. But I have been looking forward to Ferguson and Nurmagomedov for a very long time. Like, Frank, you mentioned to Robin Black right now. Like, will this fight happen? It's like the MMA gods don't want it to. This is the fourth time that this fight has been canceled. And it's funny. I was mentioning to Robin, Heidi, my wife, works for the journal. She's with us all the time on the show. She comes on. She told me yesterday morning before she left for weigh-ins. She said, he is not going to make weight. I have this horrible feeling. Little did either one of us know that he was sitting in the hospital at the time. But she does Covering the Cage with Adam Hill from the journal. Adam works on this station. He's here a lot, almost every day. Adam and Heidi every week do a breakdown and sit down, talk about the news.
I was looking at it last night.
And they have, for the last few weeks, refused to talk about Nurmagomedov and Ferguson. See, I knew you'd say that. But they refused to talk about it. And it was known as the fight that shall not be named.
Yes.
That's the only way they refer to
it. Yeah, they didn't jinx it. They knew something.
And then it was like this week they were like, well, I mean, we're here. It's going to happen. And no.
How disappointed are we that Ferguson isn't fighting? They offered him a fight.
And you know what? I do not blame him one bit.
I don't
for
either.
Not taking
I don't.
It. I do I, not blame him
I was upset by
one
it, but
bit.
You're right.
A lot of people yesterday I saw on social media were like, oh, why isn't Ferguson taking this fight? You know why he's not taking the fight? Because it wasn't for a title anymore. It wasn't for the same amount of money. And it was against an opponent that he wasn't preparing for. It's that simple. When you think about this, Tony Ferguson, if they were going to offer him that fight, you make it for the title.
As Showtime Pettis, how that works out, right? When you take a fight that you're not ready for.
You walk around the UFC offices, it's like an Oprah episode. You get a title. Couldn't they do it? Why couldn't they do it?
Look under your seats. Titles for everybody.
Interim title coming your way. But we are losing this fight, but it is going to be, hopefully one day it does happen. And like Robin said, that was really interesting. What does Khabib lose? He may have lost the biggest payday in his life in not being this fight, but Armando, you have to admit it would have been against Conor McGregor.
Yes,
and
yes.
If they had fought in Russia, man, that would have topped his like life dream. That right there. Goals.
Yes, it should.
All right, we're out of time, and damn, we don't have any time for any more WWE talk.
Best
for
night tomorrow.
For Armando, I'm Ballpark Frank. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Have
Vegas
a great weekend.
Vegas Discount Nutrition are the premier nutrition stores in Las Vegas.